Governor Cuomo has something called his energy highway. We are anticipating a large turnout, and we would love for as many people to come as possible.
So large a turnout that you had to change the venue, apparently, for this meeting.
This group was formed around the start of the year, end of last year, called the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition.
That if you're going to do all of that, the first thing that you need to do is demonstrate to us that it's actually necessary, that there really is no need.
This is Community Power, a monthly series of reports on the governor's energy highway, the popular resistance that it inspired, and the Cultural Resources Survey of Livingston.
Start at the bottom and you pick them from the ground, and you pick that tree clean all the way around. Then you set up your ladder and you climb up high, and you're looking through the leaves at the clear blue sky. Hey ho, makes you feel so fine, looking out across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.
Today, the third part of my interview with Daniel P. Duthie and Haley Carlock of Scenic Hudson. The next step, though, is the part of the technical conference that it was initially meant to address, which is the actual need, right? So, as you Daniel pointed out, that at this point, at least from your standpoint, from your perspective, the first two types of justifications for reliability or congestion costs, the actual need for energy, aren't really there, but the public policy requirement, that justification might work out. So what are the strategies that you or you, Haley, will be bringing to that next conference to, you know, make that case beyond what Ned Sullivan made, the case that Ned Sullivan made?
Well, let me just back up one minute. Before we get to, you know, any kind of a public policy pronouncement by the commission, I think we're going to go through a very careful look at the need for any project. And I think that's going to be the next technical conference, and we're going to look at the economics. And remember, I indicated that on the contract, the HVSEC is London Economics, a very well-known economic consulting firm that's done a fair amount of work for many of the big players in this business. So they're very well respected, and they will be coming out with a report at some point that it will become public and will be vetted in the technical conference along with Dr. Guidon's work, so that we can present the commission with a complete description of what we think the energy future is looking like with respect to demand and supply. So the commission can make an informed decision. And we will be emphasizing the many, many important public policies that have been in place for many years that are there to protect the Hudson River and the Hudson Valley. And, you know, it would seem that the commission would be obligated to find in the public interest which one of those policies should be, you know, honored and respected. And when you think about it, if, in my example, if the public policy is to get more renewables and get more wind power into the more lucrative downstate region, well, if the congestion is going down downstate, then it is no longer the more lucrative market. And so maybe the wind developers aren't going to be all that interested in trying to get into the downstate market if that basis difference evaporates, which we understand will be the case.
On the other hand, the wind is downstate, so that's where they should be developing to begin with.
Well, as Guidon has pointed out, all the wind is offshore. Yeah. If you want a really reliable source of wind, you build offshore. And, you know, I think that that's just a physical, natural fact that that's where the wind is. And, you know, like the great bank robber Willie Sutton said, why did you rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Yep.
Well, they should be building, you know, windmills offshore And that would solve the problem, because the transmission then will come in, you know, under the seabed. And I think a lot of people will have less objection. And you could put the windmills out where you can't see them, out beyond the coastline. So people sitting at the beach, if they don't want to look at them, they wouldn't have to. It's really just a question at this point of cost. And it's for years and years, the Hudson River Valley has been burdened with these transmission lines, and they get no benefit out of it. Yep. And so, you know, it's about time that, you know, we look at projects that will, you know, burden those customers that are getting the benefits. And I think that's been a mismatch here, you know, in the Hudson Valley. And the bottom line is, if there is no increase in demand, then there's no need for any of these projects.
Exactly.
And that's got to be nailed down. And you know, we don't have anything from the Public Service Commission or that has definitively demonstrated a need. And you know, four of my clients are towns, and towns are not going to be idly taking pot shots at utilities if there is a need for the power and they can justify it. I mean, towns, you know, want to have businesses that have electricity. The residents have to have electricity. It's more critical, I guess. Electricity is approaching water as a critical element in maintaining our way of life.
Yeah.
So the towns, my clients, are not going to be taking pot shots, but they want to see a demonstration of need. And so far, we've been at this now since 2012, more actively since 2013, and we have not seen a demonstration of need, even attempted at this point. And so, you know, we think that really the cart is before the horse, and it's unfortunate that the modeling had to be redone, but I'm all for the enhanced accuracy. And, you know, what's a 1 or 2 month delay in the grand scheme of things? Because these projects are going to take quite some time to build, and it's going to take quite some time to get through Part B, which is what I'm referring to as the full Article 7 process that will follow this, you know, Part A.
So, Haley, anything you'd like to add?
So just in terms of process, I think, you know, a lot of people are wondering kind of what happens next. This thing has been dragged out so long, and when are we going to come to some sort of conclusion in it, even if it's only conclusion of Part A? So, you know, in terms of what the process looks like, and we certainly don't have any exact dates yet, we're anticipating that report on need for the projects from the Department of Public Service that Dan referred to earlier. Sometime, we really don't know, probably, you know, maybe a month or two from now, we'll get that report. And around the same time, we will also submit our two experts' reports on need, Dr. Eschel's load projections and London Economics congestion market study. Then there'll be shortly following that another technical conference, the technical conference on need that was postponed. And then there will be a public comment period. And that comment period will pertain to staff's recommendation as to whether there's a need for the project. It will pertain to sort of staff suggested elimination of projects, which is expected to be winnowed even further the field of projects in the final staff report. Staff's, you know, methodology and analysis will be up for comment. And in addition to that, there will also be an opportunity to comment then on whether the AC transmission proceeding or the projects in the proceeding should qualify as a public policy requirement, as Dan explained earlier. So that will be, you know, a very important time for the public to get active, and, you know, we'll certainly be submitting comments. We don't know exactly when that will be. What we heard at the technical conference is that the commission would like to make a decision on this, on all of the Part A issues, by the end of the year. That seems pretty optimistic to get all that done, get public comments in, have the commission have time to review them by the end of the year. But that's our best guess right now as to what the schedule looks like.
So they want to have recommendations on the cost and impact aspects of the various plans by the end of the year. And then
it would be more than recommendations. It would be the commission's final decision, which is, of course, appealable. But the commission's, final decision as to is there a need for these projects? If so, which project? Probably just one. Maybe it's a couple. Move forward, and on what basis that decision was made. And that would mark the conclusion, ostensibly, of Part A. And again, if a need is determined, it would mark the beginning of Part B, or the full Article 7 permitting process for whatever project or projects is selected to move on.
Yeah, Tom, just to quantify this a little bit, the four developers have proposed 22 projects, and the staff has recommended that only 7 proceed at this point in time to Part B, and that is an interim recommendation, their interim report, and so that may change between now and the staff final recommendation to the commission. So it just gives you a sense of one-third of the projects are recommended to go forward, and the other two-thirds are recommended to not make it to Part B. And the reason this is important is because all of the real estate owners who are along any of those 22 projects, who are near those projects, their real estate is basically frozen. They're not being able to buy or sell. And it's been going on now for a couple of years. So in one example, the Omega Institute, Skip Backus had to postpone the expansion of his dining facility because he didn't know what was going to happen. And certainly the Omega Institute, their programs, which attract, over 25,000 people a year, are incompatible with, high-voltage transmission lines. So
sure.
That's just one example of a business that had to put an expansion on hold because they didn't know if they'd be able to stay on that property, beautiful property, by the way, if they'd be able to stay there if that transmission line was going to come in and be visible from the property.
And is there a place where people can go to see which of the 7 are still in play and which geographic areas they actually impact?
We actually have developed at Scenic Hudson, and I think we're in the final stages of finalizing this map to make it as clear as possible. But we, our GIS folks, originally developed a map of all 22 proposals, sort of a big picture map, obviously, because so many of the projects overlap and use the same corridors, but it really gives you an overall sense of the geography impacted. And they've modified that now to have a map that shows only the 8 proposals, actually, that are recommended to move forward in the proceeding. So once that's finalized within the next week or so, certainly our GIS manager is on vacation, so that's why it's taking longer. It will be posted to the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition website, hvsec.org.
Well, thank you, Haley and Dan, for speaking to us today, and good luck with the future of the proceedings.
And Tom, they're going to need it.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, home makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.
Community Power is produced for Wave Farms, WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Hey, home makes you feel so funny when you're walking through a town and you got no money. Hey, home makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you feel so down, picking up windfalls, crawling on the ground. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you lose your mind if you sing this song about 100 times. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.